welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. That's what it's called, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the almost full moon of free speech. You know what they call an almost full moon? A gibbous. You know why? Because it's like a gibbon. You know, gibbons swing from trees, and so that moon swinging there in the sky, it's almost full, but it needs more. It's not full yet, and neither is RBN. We need the fundage badly. We need it badly. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage. But wait, there's more. Jeremy's going to tell you more ways to donate to RBN, and then some. Jeremy.
If you want to send a check or money order, make it payable to RBN. Mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in your debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And you can win a book from John Statmiller's library if you donate $100 or more. Final drawing this Thursday. That would be the 12th. And if you want to donate to me, I'm rebuilding my work truck, and I need some fundage for upgrades on the sound system. My GoFundMe is available in the show script of In Plain Sight. Also, my Cash App address, and you can email me at patrickandjeremyshow@yahoo.com for an address if you want to send a check or money order. So get that fundage in. Keep free speech alive. Patrick, man. Part two. It seems like only a few minutes ago that we did our show last night.
I think it was a few minutes ago. It's a good show. Good caller. Joe from Florida. He's kind of the gold standard in callers, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, we discussed a lot of interesting topics. The similarities between ISIS and the neo-Nazis in the Donbass, both government-funded. Both CIA and Mossad funded, talking about fundage, used to infiltrate people, to bring people in, to get them to do stupid things, not dissimilar from the COINTELPRO of the 1960s America, infamous by the FBI.
Imagine if they would just, I'm not even asking for fundage from the CIA. I'm not asking for fundage I'm not actually asking for it from anybody. I gave up. I did ask for it, and I have nothing against it. But just imagine if they weren't doing everything they could to choke off our fundage. I mean, they choked me off. I had a Stripe that got shut down, and I just gave up. It was too hard to implement. It wasn't worth it for me. By the way, Jeremy, how's your truck doing?
It's in need of a good old fashioned rebuild. Zyklon T and I, we do a lot of work for farmers, and it's imperative to have two trucks going. We only have one right now. And I need to take a second job, which is going to affect broadcasting at night, 5 days a week. So, I really appreciate the people that have sent, donations. God bless you all. They've been very generous. But between now and March, I'm trying to rebuild that truck. So any fundage is appreciated to sort of help me along. Mostly, though, donate to RBN first. If you've only got the money to donate to RBN, do that, because we wouldn't have these shows without RBN. But any chance you get to help the hosts, any of the hosts, please do so. It's imperative.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah. And you want to talk about them sending money, the government sending money, $100 billion plus to the Ukraine in the last year, but no fundage for the wall to secure our own borders. I know that it's a cliche now. It's basically a cliche that even the normie right-wingers have picked up. But it's very clear the illegitimacy of our government, that they're willing to pull all this money into this foreign operation and not into our own country's defense.
You know, you just wonder. And yet, there's, I don't know if it was half of the electorate. I don't know you know, exactly how legitimate our elections are, but roughly, you know, a significant chunk of the population and maybe roughly half of the electorate still somehow believes that, you know, the Biden presidency is more or less legitimate and this kind of stuff, that our government, they more or less believe this stuff. They more or less believe that, I mean, lots of people, you sent an amazing article about China, where now that China has ended its lockdown, a lot of Chinese people are wanting to go overseas and get the deadly vax. So confusion, mass confusion and gaslighting and brainwashing is alive and well, not just in America, but even in China. Where would they get that idea from? Like these random Chinese, I guess it's Chinese people with enough money to travel overseas, and they might be somewhat more Western oriented and exposed to the Western media. But, you know, it's just amazing. You know, on the one hand, something as simple as what you just said, $100 billion for Ukraine, not a penny for the wall, when it's obvious we've got tons and tons of people pouring over the border illegally, in addition to the tons and tons that are coming in with green cards and whatever else. It's just amazing that, I mean, honestly, it's amazing that there aren't more people who are just willing to believe that everything we're being told is a lie, from, you know, from gravity to viruses to everything else. Maybe it's not surprising that some people believe that everything is a lie. Maybe what's amazing is that more people don't believe that everything is a lie, because the lies they're telling are so brazen.
And fundage to the Ukraine, wasn't that a huge thing that was stopping McCarthy from getting elected speaker? I mean, what did he take, like 14 votes to get in? And because he was 15. He was a big supporter of the Ukraine, and even our mainstream sold out cucked Republicans were trying to hold his feet to the fire, supposedly, on this support for Ukraine thing. Like, he had to acquiesce to not doing that.
So I'm not 100% sure exactly what the details of whatever bargain was struck between McCarthy and the Freedom Caucus and Matt Gaetz and Lorena Boebert, who in retrospect is somewhat hotter than she seemed on the Goyim's Choice Awards last Monday. But at any rate, at least indirectly, some of the rules changes, which I believe have been enacted already, that weaken the position of the speaker, at least indirectly, would probably make it easier for Republicans, those who want to at least try to slow down some of this stuff. But the problem is, you know, the vast majority of Republicans and virtually all Democrats support infinity shekels for, you know, anal sex in Ukraine. Is that what we're calling it now? World War Anal?
It is.
That's what Andrew Anglin's calling it. And it's kind of gross and it's not classy, but, you know, it's got the ring of truthiness to it.
It's hard to stay classy when you delve into the cesspits of global politics these days. But yeah, that does seem to be the thing. And it is sort of a known thing that, I mean, you know, the West is, you know, flying the anal flag, the rainbow flag, against the traditional values of Russia and the East. That's sort of where we're at.
Yeah, rainbows, they used to bring wonder, and now they just bring us grids. That sounds like a line from a song.
It's something I mentioned in the last show last night. So many of the normie right-wingers are seeing through this. Like, they don't support the war in Ukraine. They're saying that Russia's in the right. And I wonder to what extent is the system, the Jewish-dominated establishment, to what extent are they losing control of the narrative?
Yeah, and that's the question. That's a good question, losing control of the narrative. Because, you know, just now I said I might have said that most Republicans, the vast majority of Democrats, and I was referring to the Congress, to those in Congress. But I think it's clear that, say, among the Republican rank and file, the you know, support for the war in Ukraine is not particularly strong. And then when you think of the Democratic rank and file, you know, what's the main Democratic, the biggest part of their electorate? It's black women. And it's like, what Ukraine? What you talking about, white boy? What you talking about? They don't have any particular care about Ukraine. For the white women, the single white women, I mean, they'll just get in line with whatever the thing is.
A lot of your, what I've noticed, you know, I use Facebook as sort of a gauge because I have a lot of right-wingers and left-winger friends that I've made friends with over the last 3 decades, and I can keep up with them. And let me put it this way, the traditional leftists on my friends list, the white people that would be anti-war, like, they're not supporting the Ukraine. They're not very vocal about it because they don't want to go against the current, you know, Biden presidency regime, because it looks like they're supporting. If you go against Biden, you know, it's the it makes it look like you're supporting the right or Trump. But they're not coming all out on the Ukraine. They're not coming out in support of this. And so I wonder how many traditional leftists that are anti-war, I wonder how many more of them are being defected from the system. I don't know that religious stuff. Yeah.
You've got some people who were opinion leaders amongst more intellectual progressive leftists. And, you know, I think about Glenn Greenwald. I think about Jimmy Dore, and who have, you know, gotten to the point where they're appearing on Tucker Carlson's show. Glenn Greenwald frequently on his show, but Jimmy Dore from time to time. And, you know, these are old-fashioned lefties. And, you know, you've got in Kentucky that, what's his name, Jeff, what was his name? Running for governor?
Jeff Young, Democratic opposition to Governor Beshear in the election this year. The election is in 2023. Yeah, support the Ukraine.
Oh. If you got a time machine and went back to the 1980s and just went into some random crowd of lefties and you brought them here, they'd all be against the war in Ukraine. They'd be aghast at what's going on. You know, some of them might be in denial because they were all into, you know, black people are just like white people, except that we discriminate against them. They might be kind of not know what to say about Black Lives Matter, or they might want to still go along with that. Who knows? But in terms of the foreign policy, they would be aghast. I can't imagine anybody that I knew politically in the 1980s. I knew. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe Scoop Jackson types or Mondale types or whatever, but the so-called progressives, none of them would be for this hyper-aggressive foreign policy, all this, you know, verge of war with Russia. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and here's the thing. In today's political climate, we talked about the Kentucky gubernatorial election this year. So I'm going to this WKMS article. There are 12 Republicans that are vying to go against Beshear. And then, as we mentioned, on the Democrat side, Jeff Young not supporting the Ukraine. What's interesting is there's going to be more of these Republicans that support a war in Ukraine that support, because they're all old school. They're all kind of, you know, 20 years ago, same type of people that would have supported invasion in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, America type people that are patriotic, and they're great people, and they actually fought against the COVID measures. I mean, to their credit, But to their discredit, you know, they would be more in favor of the war in Ukraine than this Jeff Young Democrat. So you see in Kentucky, I think, more traditional left and right politics where right-wing Republicans are in favor of war, your Democrats are more traditional leftists. I think you're seeing that.
Something that you might see in 2023, this year, and I'll make a prediction. You might see a challenger for the Democratic nomination, a challenger to the Biden, taking a anti-Ukraine war stance. And I'm not saying that, I don't think that somebody like that would necessarily win. And somebody like Tulsi Gabbard 4 years ago, I mean, that was kind of her thing. She was taking an anti-war, she was being like the anti-war Democrat dissident. She was establishing herself that way. The thing is, 4 years or 3 years ago, there wasn't a major war going on. And now she's formally quit the Democratic Party, so it wouldn't be her. But it would be a very, what's the word for it? Kind of a smart thing to do, a sly, there's a better word for it, astute thing to do for some Democrat, not that he'd necessarily capture the nomination, but to really establish themselves, especially a young person, you know, somebody in the House of Representatives or, you know, a dark horse, but to establish themselves as the anti-war Democrat. And if they're a young person who did that, they could catapult themselves from obscurity to being a household name, which then maybe, you know, 4 or 8 years later could lead to something. But I think a political entrepreneur should see that as a niche that needs to be filled. And I'm not saying I would support such a person or whatever, but I'm just predicting that I think there's such a opportunity for somebody, especially a young, ambitious politician, to do something like that. And this is kind of what Tulsi did, but the time wasn't quite right for her. But she was young, you know, she was in her 30s and still hot. And she's catapulted it to, like, you know, Fox News, mediocre stardom, you know, it's something. So that's what I think. Does that sound at all plausible to you?
Yeah, because they've wet their finger and stuck it up in the wind to see which way the winds are blowing, and so that they know that there's a lot of you know, there's the Ukraine war is unpopular, support for it is unpopular, and so it makes sense that they would put forth a Democratic candidate that would cater to the you know, their leftist populace to try to maintain some sort of control.
Yeah, and then of course, meanwhile, we did have an announcement, and that was John Bolton and his mustache. I guess John Bolton's running for president, and the mustache will be his running mate. Is that it? Because I don't know who else would be his running mate, and I don't know who else would vote for John Bolton. But John Bolton somehow thinks that there's a need for a Republican candidate to be even more uber Zionist war hawk than the current Biden and the Biden Victoria Nuland administration.
Yeah, and you know, on the Republican side, if we get back to the gubernatorial candidates in Kentucky, Daniel Cameron, the you know, state attorney general based black man, who fought hard. He fought really hard against Beshear. He fought against COVID measures. He fought against child trannyism. He also took the side of the officers that went to the home of, you know, the black female in Louisville, Breonna Taylor. He took the side of the officers in that one. He's not come totally out of...
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around, and be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Black female in Louisville, Breonna Taylor. He took the side of the officers in that one. He's not come totally out against the Ukraine. What he's said is basically, don't support, you know, the Ukrainian fundraisers because a lot of those are scams. He's warned against that. He hasn't really come out in opposition of the Ukraine, but he's sort of neutral on that. But he's probably the most famous and probably the most likely candidate for governor in Kentucky, Daniel Cameron. Pretty, you know, right along the lines type of guy. And if he won, he would be the first black governor of Kentucky ever. That would be interesting. But that having been said, anybody could replace Beshear because Beshear's COVID, you know, his implementation of COVID measures was so draconian. In a state that's so conservative, you know, when you talk about conservatism being against child trannyism, against COVID measures, pro-life, in a state that has these politics, you know, Beshear is completely opposite of all of that, which makes me think that his election was a hoax in 2019. Because basically you had three cities in Kentucky controlling the vote, Lexington, Louisville, and Frankfort. But now the legislature has broken that up. They've broken up the lines so that the big cities share votes with rural areas. And now it's going to be a lot harder to hoax the election. And we're definitely going to see Bashir out. And if you run basically against child trannies and against COVID measures, you'll win. I mean, you'll be at the top of the list, whether you be Democrat or Republican in Kentucky. Yeah.
So, and we've got this new phenomenon, relatively new phenomenon, and that is the base black politician. And
right.
Obviously there is more than a niche. There's a giant need for them because whites have been so demoralized that they cannot express their own interests. They cannot, politically campaign for their own interests. And the only way that, say, a lot of normie white voters can vote for somebody who is at least nominally trying to push for white interests is if that's a black person doing it. You know, so you've got the Candace Owens phenomenon, and last weekend when they were doing the votes for the House Speaker of the House, who are the anti-McCarthy Republicans voting for? They were voting for some black guy from Texas or Florida? I think it was from Florida. Somebody was making a speech. Isn't it wonderful that we've got two of the three people that are running for that are receiving votes for House Speaker are blacks? Isn't that great? Well, it's not great, but the fact is, white people have been so demoralized, so destabilized that they cannot represent their own interests. And the only way they can support somebody representing their interests is if it's black, because otherwise they're worried about being accused of racism.
Yeah. And the whole thing where Cameron, went against the Breonna Taylor narrative, that's major. Him being a black man. As a matter of fact, when Cameron spoke at a local fancy farm picnic, which is a big thing in Kentucky. A lot of the up and coming politicians will go to the fancy farm picnic in West Kentucky as they're on their way to what they think hopefully is power. There was a lot of chants, Breonna Taylor, and they chanted that against Daniel Cameron when he got up and spoke this past year in the fall of 22. So the fact that this black man would take the side of white officers in this shooting of a black woman with a no-knock warrant on an apartment that's suspected of harboring drugs, a drug drop, that's major. And I don't know that a white attorney general would have been as brazen as he was. I think he felt a lot of leeway to be brazen because he's black. I don't know. Does that make sense?
And how old is he? He's not that old, is he?
Ooh, I don't know for sure. He looks like he's mid-30s. I can tell you in a minute. But yeah, what did you have?
Well, okay. So, I mean, there, like I say, political entrepreneurship. There is certainly a lot of opportunity for a well-spoken black person who wants to get into politics, and they can get in as a Republican, saying things, really saying kind of common sense things that white people no longer feel safe saying. I mean, white people were afraid to, not in rural areas, but in suburban areas, white people were afraid to even support, even to express support for Donald Trump because that was totally racist. You can be accused of being a racist for supporting Donald Trump.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
there. Are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com, or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
to express support for Donald Trump, because that was totally racist. But, you know, you can be accused of being a racist for supporting Donald Trump, but it gets hard to be, and people feel safer about supporting somebody like Cameron. If he's black, you could be saying the exact same things, but his blackness gives you like an N-word pass or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's 37 years old, by the way. And you can tell he's mixed if you pull up his picture. He's got a lot of European in him. Also, Trump fully endorsed Cameron, which is a big thing in Kentucky, where it's very based. I mean, people here are very basic. Black people, the leftist blacks, a lot of them think that Trump is KKK and white supremacist. And if you support Trump, you're that. You know, so for Trump to come out and endorse Cameron, that was major. Even though we know Trump is not, you know this feel. But yeah, Cameron's 37. Yeah, go ahead.
And you know, while the black electorate has been pretty much in the Democrats' pocket, but to a large extent, it's the black female electorate. And a big hunk of the black male electorate doesn't vote. And if you look at the state of affairs in black society right now, who are the big losers? The big losers are older, law-abiding black men, right? They're the big losers. They have no status in society. The gangbangers, they've got status. They've got money until they're thrown in jail. They've got access to females. They're producing offspring. So, and of course they're not voting. You know, they're not voting, but they've got status. Women have status. Most black mothers are single mothers. Maybe most black women are single mothers, but you know, at least 3/4 of black babies are born out of wedlock. So there's an awful lot of single mothers, and single mothers are heroes. They're heroes in our society. They've got plenty of status. And so a law-abiding black man and, you know, an older man, you know, he's not needed in the family anymore. You've got the government that's willing to provide support for the black babies coming up. They're not needed. And so the people like Jesse Lee Peterson or Reverend Manning, I don't know how big of a share of older law-abiding black men they represent in terms of thinking, but there is some potential there. Even if you got a significant share of the older law-abiding black male vote, it's not that huge of a number, and it's not as if I'm saying that it's really important for right wing politicians to be courting them or whatever. But I do think that there is certainly a segment of the black population that really can probably see through an awful lot because they've lost all their status. They've lost an awful lot over the past 50 or 60 years, and they can remember what things were like and aren't going to buy the idea that everything's gotten better when it hasn't. There's that. And then I think, you know, there's certainly opportunity for young, ambitious people who want to get into politics, young, ambitious blacks to get in as Republicans, expressing at least some of the political interests of whites that whites are afraid to express themselves.
Yeah. And speaking of this demographic, these older black men that are based, that would be considered conservative, and even younger black men like Cameron that follow suit, they really don't have a good outlet. They don't have a good black leader because they don't know about people like, Jesse Lee Peterson or, Pastor Manning. I'll use for an example, the black guy that runs the barbecue here in West Kentucky. He flies an American flag out in front of his establishment. He has the Western Channel on when you walk in. It's like Gunsmoke and Bonanza. When you walk into his establishment, that's what's playing on the TV. Mostly black workers, all good people. And the clientele are 99% white working class. All of your linemen, firemen, police, construction workers, carpenters, electricians, all of these people come in for lunch, and it's mostly white people, and he's on the edge of the ghetto. So people like this man, like, they default to, like, supporting Trump. Like, that's all they know to do is support Trump. There's no, like, they wouldn't be able to tell you anything about Farrakhan. Probably they know who he is, but they certainly wouldn't know about how to talk about Jewish power or any of his talking points on that. And they wouldn't know about any of Jesse Lee Peterson stuff. So they've been sort of swept into this, right-wing thing where they don't have a black leader to support this, so they support someone like Trump. And then they're looked at by their by the black community as Uncle Toms. You know, and I think that's the category you can lump Cameron into. I mean, Cameron, he hasn't outwardly, you know, he's not went against the Ukraine. He probably supports the U.S. He's probably very pro-American. But that's what he defaults to. He doesn't know anything about our type of politics. And if he was ever introduced to that, he probably would be totally on board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they, default to just supporting Trump, just putting a Trump flag or an American flag out, and you know, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm. And when you get down to it, I'm not going to say that everything 60, 70 years ago during Jim Crow or segregation or whatever was ideal for blacks. I do think that by a whole bunch of metrics, things have gotten worse since the civil rights movement. By a whole bunch of metrics, you know, incarceration rates, probably drug use, certainly illegitimacy, you know, marriage rates and all of that. In a lot of ways, things have gotten way worse. And there are differences between white and black people. And there, while we're living in the same country and living in proximity with each other, there's going to be issues, but things could be a lot better than they are. And they can be better than they were, you know, ever in the past. They can be better. Can they, you know, it's not that they can be perfect, but they can certainly be better. And while there's a lot of people, a lot of frustration because, you know, whites have been vilified for years and years and years, and kind of a reaction to that vilification sometimes is kind of like coarse racism or coarse racist attitudes, which is natural. And like, you know, even if I go back and listen to some things I've said sometimes on shows or whatever and jokes, you know, sometimes it's coarser than how I really feel, but you know, that's what's going to happen. But honestly, you know, even people like David Duke, who's supposedly like the godfather of all racists and he's the KKK guy, his attitudes towards blacks aren't hostile. They're not, you know, it's not, he wants what's best for white people, but not, it's not as if he wants what's best for white people at the expense of everybody else. And he wants black people to do well. It's not that he doesn't want them to, he has no hostility towards them. And, you know, people on RBN, a lot of people have that same attitude that they'd be very happy for black people to do well and, you know, willing to exert effort or resources to help them do well. But this vilification of white people, what's happening to white people is just so horrible. And obviously this is going to be our top priority, is addressing those issues. And sometimes in addressing those issues, we might speak a little more coarsely or carelessly about blacks. And, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. I would argue more on Jesse Lee Peterson's side that the black community was better off in Jim Crow. I think that we were better off.
They were better off. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I know you acknowledge that. I understand where you were coming from. But I mean, there was this, this anticipation, this expectation of the black to, you know, support their family. It was before you had the subversion of gangster rap and everything that happened after, you know, the civil rights movement. You know, the black communities were better off, and it is actually constitutional freedom of association, for peoples to have their own societies, their own, you know, segregation is constitutional, regardless of how they try to shove that under the 14th Amendment to say it's not. And, you know, that having been said, I heard it mentioned on another broadcast. I think it was Fascination. You know, the American government has always recognized Native Americans as their own race, and they're able to have like reservations in their own communities. Mm. And it was sort of a way to give them something, right, for stealing their land, I guess. But still, if they could do that for Native Americans, why couldn't they do that for all races, specifically whites? I think that was the point that was being addressed.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Because, oh, here, one more point before I kick it to you. Because mm-hmm. the rank and file blacks, you know, they're as dumb as the rank and file whites, you know, mm-hmm. when you can, and, they need to be told what to do. There needs to be a structure for them. And when they're just given, total all out civil rights and, you know, given funds from the government to have Infinity Children, this is what you see happen. They need a structure. So, you know, it's only the people like Cameron or the base black guy that runs the barbecue shop, only those kind of people are going to rise to the top. But if you go back to segregating societies, and I think that would be step one, if the current power structure were ever taken down and, you know, people like us were in power, I think a type of constitutional freedom of association and segregation would be necessary as a first step. You know, not just deporting people, that's not reasonable. But back to segregation, that's reasonable. You know, that was done only, what, 60, 70 years ago. I'll kick it to you.
Yeah, I really want to get into the hydrogen stuff, too. But
let's do it.
Okay. Well, let's put a bookmark in this about segregation, self-segregation, freedom of association, and we'll put a bookmark in and discuss it again soon. But you sent me an article about the hydrogen economy in Kentucky, perhaps, with Kentucky, West Virginia, Ohio launching, embarking on the hydrogen industry.
Yeah.
And you had a read on this? What do you think off the top of your head? And I'll address some stuff.
I mean, Kentucky being traditionally, you know, coal mining, it's going to be a hard transition to make, but it can be done. This is something you and I have talked about. I think you and I agree that there is, you know, damage to the climate, damage to the environment, because of, you know, all of the coal, the industrial revolution. So solutions can be had, but the solutions that they've given us are a detriment to our, you know, to our people. And it's just politicians grabbing power. Transitioning to hydrogen can be done. You know, will they do it in a way that doesn't completely wreck the economy? And, you know, they could do that. And I think this is probably a good thing that Kentucky is the regional hydrogen club to move from coal to hydrogen. Let me get your thoughts on that.
So there's two or three things regarding my attitude towards, like, all the global warming stuff. One, of course, is that the policies that are presented are anti-white. They're weaponizing an issue, which I think is a real issue, but they're weaponizing it and so that it can be included in their arsenal of anti-white weapons. So that's one thing. What was another thing? Another thing is the idea of deadlines, because they keep saying deadlines. By 2030, we've got to do this. By this time, we've got to do that. Do you have – is all the technology ready yet? No, but we've got to do it by then. Sink or swim. Sink or swim, forget it. I mean, is that how you would teach your kid to swim? Just say, okay, I'm throwing you in the pool and you got to swim? Or do you give them lessons and maybe it'll take a week, maybe it'll take a month, maybe it'll take a whole summer? You don't know, because you don't know how long it's going to take for some of the other elements to be developed and ready, some of the necessary elements. So I've always had this problem. One more problem I have is that I wish I could care a lot about this. I wish I could, but I'm too busy with all of these other hoaxes they're throwing at me. And so ain't nobody got time for that. I really don't have time for – I wish I did. I wish I did. I wish I could be all into the global warming and how to deal with it. But I don't got time for it. Go ahead.
I just wanted to interject this point and consider the $100 billion to Ukraine. That could be $2 billion per state. And, you know, not every state was co-producing. So you could even narrow that down more. But what if you put $2 billion into Kentucky from the federal government to transition into hydrogen production, and all of these white people in the Appalachians, you know, that used to work in coal, build hydrogen plants and put that $2 billion towards that? And, you know, that would be, I could be on board with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they're throwing all this money at all these other things. And if they're throwing all this money at wars, first you have to stop the wars. And then you can do something else with the money. But, it, you know, as long as the wars are going on, how can you be spending money on other things that are important? But the money's going to the wars. The resources are going to the wars. Now, just a word about the hydrogen. So if you burn hydrogen, you get – it releases energy, and the waste product is water vapor. So that's all good. Where do you get the hydrogen from? Well, you can get hydrogen – you can get hydrogen from water. How do you do it? You use energy to separate the oxygen and the hydrogen. Or you could get hydrogen, I guess, from – methane as well, but you have to use energy in order to separate. So, like, on the one hand, it's like, well,
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
How do you do it? You use energy to separate the oxygen and the hydrogen. Or you could get hydrogen, I guess, from methane as well. But you have to use energy in order to separate. So, like, on the one hand, it's like, well, if you have to use energy to get the hydrogen so that you can burn it and release energy, what's the point? Well, the point is that it acts as kind of a battery, right? And so it's if you have excess energy in one place or at one time, you can use that excess energy to create the hydrogen. And then it's just sitting around for when you need it. What are some of the problems with the renewable energy sources like wind or like solar. Well, sometimes there's plenty of it and sometimes there's not. And so the to have a hydrogen infrastructure, this relieves a lot of the problems. You can when the wind's blowing, when the sun's shining, you can store that energy that you don't need, that you're not using because you got too much of it. You can store it in hydrogen, and then you can use that hydrogen when you do need it. And that's kind of and sooner or later, like you said, it's a transition that's going to be made. It is a transformation that will be made, whether it's made in our lifetime, whether it's made later. It could be made in our lifetime, but will it? I don't know. We're too busy with wars and other hoaxes, so probably not. But it, it's something that is doable.
Water power. I mean, the Ohio River, the Mississippi River, the Tennessee River, Kentucky Lake. All of these, water sources that affect multiple states, what, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee. What if you gave $2 billion to each of those states to utilize that water power for hydrogen energy and build plants and give jobs to all people, but specifically the white people that were forced out of the coal industry? Now we're talking. Now we're talking real, real things, right? Real solutions.
And, one thing is, the coal industry has provided a lot of employment to people over the decades and centuries. On the other hand, coal mining isn't necessarily the best job. I mean, black lung disease, it's not the best job. And, right?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, mine collapses. There's also explosions. There's all sorts of stuff. So, well, we'll see how that goes. I'm glad you sent that article. I like a chance to talk about these things sometimes.
Yeah, that would be the one thing I would agree with Bashir on, is transitioning from coal to hydrogen. I mean, he's not all a bad guy. He's just mostly a bad guy.
Yeah, nobody's. Hey, everybody has something to bring to the table, especially Hitler.
Exactly.
But even Bashir. And especially Hitler. Okay. All right. I guess most of our audience gets it.
Yeah. What do we have time for? How are we doing on time?
We're done.
That's it then.
That's it.
I guess stay classy and let's hope for that hydrogen transfer from fossil fuel to hydrogen.
Yeah. And we at RBN are going to be in the. What are we going to be in that transformation? And we're going to be resented for it? Are we? I don't know.
We are. Well, people like us are.
But without this transformation, we're not going to survive. People know what we're talking about. And if you don't know what we're talking about, eventually you'll figure it out. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.